folks. Get Out the Room is back. Episode 89, 2018. We came back. This marks year 6 for the show. Wow. Yeah, we've been doing
this. You know, it's funny. I said we'd hit 100 early on last year because we started off hot. We started off real hot.
And I'm pretty sure I told you to slow your roll then.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what? I've accepted the fact that we're going to be more like the J Electronicas of the world and just release things when we want.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I it's made me kind of respect him in a way because I lost respect for him. Like, man, just put it out. And I'm like, you know what? He's doing it when he wants. I get it.
Yeah, but that motherfucker don't have no album.
Oh, no, no. Trust me, I'm still frustrated by him. But
he about to go on tour. He about to go on tour with no album.
Yeah, I know, but that's exactly right. That he's putting it out when he wants to put it out.
Look, you always got to put it out. No, I'm kidding. But we got 89 albums out here. Motherfuckers, they know our track record. They know how we get down. For those that don't, Get Out the Room is a horror and pop culture podcast that we really talk about whatever the fuck we like. So deal with it. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, Listenopoly, everywhere good podcasts are found. Did I say Stitcher Radio? I probably did. It don't matter. We might have been drinking. But check it out.
I will say I'm already pouring my third drink.
Yep. I done re-upped. It's going to be ugly tomorrow. I might not make it to the gym. We's going to see. Ah, delicious.
Yeah. I mean, it's we record these things so fucking late.
And it's not, and here's the thing, people. Before he start getting on this little high horse about how late the shit is,
here we go.
We start at a halfway decent time.
Touche. Hey, and it's both our fault, so don't start throwing me under the bus because you're coming with.
Then 90 minutes later.
Yeah, we do. We always kill so much fucking time.
Let's start the show.
All right. Yeah. I know. No, that's fine.
Remember when there was 6 of us and we wouldn't start the show until like 2 a.m.?
Yeah, fucking A. I definitely remember that.
Miss those dudes, man. Miss that time.
Yeah.
One of these days, I want to get everyone together. I know that I got Carl. He's going to come back for the Black Panther show. Tone said he's gonna come back for the Black Panther show. Ryan's gonna come back for the Black Panther show. So we might get some old school Black Panther, Get Out the Room, like all of that.
Yeah. How about that?
Hold on to your nuggets, people. But check out, we're gonna jump right into this shit. I have been watching a ton. Scott has been doing a ton. So we're gonna start with the first fucking film that we both saw, because there's only 2 of them that we both seen on here. But this is something we really, really liked. This is if you look on online and it says, 15 gems that you'll find on Netflix, this will undoubtedly be in every single one of those. And it is called Turbo Kid.
Turbo Kid. Hell yeah, man. I can't believe we're talking about this movie on here. That's, that's cool. This movie's pretty fucking cool, so.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for a while, and it took me a while to go check it out, but I really liked it. And what's the name of the group that created this?
They're called Roadkill Superstar.
So it's a group of 3 cats who produce.
And they're Canadian. They're like French Canadians.
Yeah. They write and direct, and they produce all shit together, right?
Yes, they do all of it. They write, direct, produce, and they did a lot of shorts before this. In fact, this Turbo Kid came from a short from the ABCs of Death that was turned down. It was called T for Turbo.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, a different cast, but it was Turbo Kid fighting Skeletron. And that one battle they did, where they're fighting on the bikes with their groups.
Yeah.
And that's it. That was the short. And
they created an entire story around that.
They did. And it fucking worked. I mean, I gotta be honest, I'm very pleased with this movie. I've been following a little bit. I was when it came out around the same time. Did you ever watch Kung Fury?
I saw some of it. I couldn't hold in on that one.
Okay, so I really enjoyed that quite a bit too, and that was kind of let's see, when did Stranger Things come out? 16, correct?
Yep,
Okay,
16.
so Kung Fury and Turbo Kid to me, Stranger Things was the start of a lot of the nostalgia kick that we're on right now, and to me, Kung Fury and Turbo Kid did that,
Okay.
and Turbo Kid's not, I was going to say it's much better. It's better than Kung Fury. I also really like Kung Fury, so. But that's a little more goofy, whereas Turbo Kid is I would relate it the way I describe it to people. I say, it's comic booky, but it's also it's kind of like an old 80s horror film mixed with like the Never Ending Story.
No, it definitely feels like
Or
Toxic
like
Avengers, Beach Nazis, like that kind of film.
No, wait, no. See, I disagree. It's that you're talking something that sound, I mean, now you're making it sound like it's one of those like cheesy. I mean, I
Right.
see. I relate it more to. I would say that it's more like, man, it's hard to say. I mean, it's the violence in it is like an 80s horror film.
Yeah.
They leave
Toxic
everything there
Avenger,
for you to
horror
see, but.
Nazi. Everything is there. The effects are not particularly great all the time. They're kind of cheesy.
But they don't need to be.
But motherfuckers blow up, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But that's very much aligned with, like, Beach Nazis and fucking Toxic
Yeah,
Avenger.
but I guess I'm thinking more like it reminds me the story though.
The story is what sets this apart from those types of movies.
Yeah, but and that's it. Like it's the production value's high, the story's high. It's kind of an it's interesting because the story reminds me of like. It's a modern day never ending story or legend or but written
Yeah,
better.
to some
It's like with
extent.
today's sensibilities
Did you
like that.
actually tell people what the fuck this movie was?
Yeah, oh yeah. So we haven't even done that
Yeah,
yet.
so go ahead
Okay,
and.
so it's set in the future. However, the future in this movie is 1997. And so everybody the we follow somebody named the Kid. That's actually his name. He's played by Monroe Chambers and really talented young actor. And I'm very surprised. We were just talking about this before we started up. I can't believe this guy's not been around a little bit more. I haven't heard his name at all since this movie, which is kind of a shame. He's fantastic in this movie. Plays the kid. He lives in this barren wasteland of 1997, collecting relics of the past. And he lives in this underground bunker. And he gets around on a bike. In fact, everybody we see gets around on like BMX bikes. There's no gas, there's no, it's just them driving around on bikes. So I've read it, a lot of reviews like to call it Mad Max on bikes. Which is, that's kind of an accurate, that's another good description for the movie. But he collects stuff to try and get water, because water is like kind of a,
Water's a
well,
currency.
yes, water is a currency. And he finds all this shit, goes to a local market, trades it in for small amounts of water, like drinking water. And that's how people around here survive. And he gets embroiled in this. Here he meets a, oh, doesn't the guy gives him the Turbo Kid comic.
Yep.
Or Turbocharger. Turbo Man. Sorry. Been drinking. He gives him a Turbo Man comic, and the kid is kind of like idolizes this guy. And he reads this comic and he meets a android by the name of Apple.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give it a whole story. Just start there. Check it out. Once he
Yeah.
meets Apple, shit starts to take off. Michael Ironside is in it. He's fantastic. The young lady who plays Apple's lady, French Canadian actress by the name of Laurence LaBeouf. She is really, really incredible. Her chemistry with Monroe is fantastic, and they carry the film so well. The
Yes,
two of them are just so good, and aside from like all the trauma-esque affects the thing that, you know, that Scott was talking about earlier. The thing that sets all this apart is the story. There's a ton of heart here. There is a ton of believability. There's a ton of chemistry. It feels good. It's fun. It works out. You're all about it. I mean, if you watch this film and feel like you don't mess with this, then I think something's wrong with you, not the film.
I agree, but I really like the movie. So, but I mean, you put it really well. I agree. I mean, I would relate when people started saying they liked Stranger Things. I would recommend this movie. I said this is kind of like that. I mean, it just reminds me of that person. It's a good nostalgic kick.
Don't go in looking for Stranger Things. Like when he says that, think more of the feeling that it evokes, not necessarily any of the things in either of them.
I agree. It gives you that same feeling. It's nostalgia done right, you know, because it's a tricky line that you have to walk when you hit nostalgia. I mean, when these new movies get remade and they, you know, probably fuck them up, it's not always done well. I mean, Alien Covenant didn't have any nostalgia in it, and that kind of hurt it a little bit.
Yeah, that was a problem with that film.
And whereas, you know, Star Wars The Force Awakens was, you know, pretty much retelling of the first movie, and it fucking worked because that's what we want to see. Yep. And if it invokes that feeling of just, this seems familiar in a really good way, and it's something new at the same time, then to me, you've got a gem like Turbo Kid.
Yeah, and Turbo Kid's really enjoyable. So it on is. Top of all that shit, it's a really enjoyable film.
Hey, and it's got Michael Ironside in it.
Ironside, always good. Ironside is giving you full Ironside.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And he's an 80s relic as well. So
he's definitely playing the character that you know him as from the 80s.
Yes.
He is absolutely reliving
every aspect of that. He was cast very well. And
He'll collect checks off this.
It's good. I mean, they're saying, some of the violence is good. It works because some of it's real playful, and
all of it's playful.
It's playful. And Turbo Kid, so he's like, I would kind of call it like a violent Mega Man.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Or a realistic Mega Man.
Realistic Mega Man. There you go.
Yeah.
I will say this. I watched the trailer. The first trailer came out as fantastic as far as trailers go. You know, I really enjoyed the trailer. It wrapped me up. And we haven't even talked. The music is fantastic.
Yeah, soundtrack's dope. Soundtrack's bananas.
Soundtrack is fan. It's one of the few that I, you know, I've got it. I listen to it. It's in the rotation. I absolutely love the soundtrack. Very synth heavy. And again, it's used really, really well throughout the film. And it's just done really well. It's fresh to get a movie that is an indie that is as good as this is, because most of them don't deliver on their promising, you know, potential.
And I'm gonna leave this out here. I'm not gonna let it cook though. It's not lost on me that this is not an American film.
Correct. Yes, you're right.
So.
Well, and so you bring up the point that most of the American funded indie films don't go for the heart, they don't go for the acting, they don't go for the budget even, and that's a shame, because a movie like this exists, and you know, it is what it is. So hey, you put it out there, but it's a thing.
No, it's great. It's a great film. Go watch it. What's your slashes?
I'm going 9 on this. This is a 9, and that's, I would, on a better day, I may even go higher, but a 9, I really enjoyed this quite a bit. This is a rewatchable movie for me.
You caught me so far off guard, I almost said the N-word in mixed public. Ooh, I had to clutch my pearls. God.
I recommend it. I mean, I recommend it. I really do. I think everybody should watch this one. It's very good.
Oh, that's not even half chub. That's like fully erect, bro.
It came out in the year where Force Awakens did. It's not as good. I liked Force Awakens better, but Turbo Kid was one of my favorite movies that year, and it's good. It's memorable, and that's why I like it. It's rewatchable and it's fun, and
it's on Netflix now too, so you guys can check that
out. Yeah, absolutely. Check it out. And they got a new movie coming out, hopefully this year. I know it's doing the festival circuit right now. Summer of 84. It's another nostalgic.
I heard about that. Okay.
Yeah. So that's from these guys.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I will go a little bit lower than that. I'll probably go 7.
Okay.
7.5 maybe. I can be, you know, convinced to go 7.5. Yeah. So, Turbo Kid, great stuff. Let's move on to do the Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
hey, I've been waiting to hear. So, just a little background before we go into this. Turbo Kid and Brawl in Cell Block were Scott recommendations. And Damon watched them both, and I've been waiting to hear his opinion on this Brawl in Cell Block 99. It was kind of a, I don't know. I suspect I know where it's going to go, but I'm interested. So let's hear.
So Brawl is the Vince Vaughn led gangster film, but not in the way that you think it is. He's the good guy, like. So he's a guy that, you know, was down on his luck, got involved with some organized crime, and all of a sudden his genuine skills have paid dividends for he and his wife. Jennifer Carpenter, Deb from Dexter, turns out to be his lovely wife. You know, you see them in a set of circumstances early in the film, and then you know, things change for them. And you see them later on in the film in a much better light. And they're about to have a kid. From there, some things happen. Dude gets pinched. He goes to Club Fed. You know, go do a short bid. Things happen. They actually force him to do some other things to do a much larger bid. Yep. And from inside of all of these jails, we just go further and further down the hole of shitty jails to the place where basically nobody comes back from.
Right.
And there's a cameo in here from
Don Johnson.
I wasn't going to say it, but sure, fuck it. It's out here now. Don Johnson, and he's good, and everything that he brings to the table is great.
Yep.
But all the things kind of surrounding all of that are pretty crazy, because you have to believe that Vince Vaughn is the single greatest hand-to-hand combatant in any prison ever. You know what I mean? If any of you have ever seen The Raid 2 Redemption, think the jail yard scene without water and mud.
Okay, that's a little fucking intense there. I mean, the Raid 2 is that Indonesian dude who can, like, he could whoop, you know, everybody I know's ass if they attacked him at the same time. Like, the Vince Vaughn thing is not, it's not that.
How many people did Vince Vaughn fight in this movie?
He fought, well, at one time?
How many people did Vince Vaughn fight in this movie?
You asked me a question, and I'm asking you another. At one time?
No, just all together.
I don't know.
30, 35.
I was going to say a couple dozen. Yeah.
Yeah. How many of them actually laid a punch on him?
More than you're recalling right now. But I know where you're going with
this. Three. He's the ultimate hand-to-hand fighter.
You're also, now hold on a minute. See, let me describe it. I'm not going to, I know where you're going with it. I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I guess I'm looking at it from, this dude's like an imposing, like, Frankenstein.
But he's not a Frankenstein. He's just really good at what he does. There's a
and you're positioning it as you don't believe it because it's Vince Vaughn.
So I was going to get to that, but yes. So that's okay. So the idea for you to be able to fully immerse yourself in this film is to believe that Vince Vaughn is the baddest motherfucker you've ever seen.
I think you just got to believe that he's a little more intense than he normally is. I don't know. I didn't see it that way.
Intense is one thing.
I'm not ruining anything, but I didn't see it. I didn't see it that way.
Think about it like this, Scott. He's the gangster whisperer. He knows when the cops are coming. He can do anything against anyone whenever he feels like. And there is lots of gore. There's a shitload of gore. A lot of face smashing, face stamping.
It's a slow build.
So let me check it out. Dude has to do some things to keep his family safe on the inside.
Yeah.
He's on the inside for his wife, Jennifer Carpenter, and the baby to live. He has to do some things. Cool. That's the setup. I felt like this movie was probably 30 minutes too long.
How long was it?
It was like two.
Continue on. I'll go some stats on this.
I think it was like 210, 225, something like that. The beginning half is really kind of slow and it drags, but you kind of have to get all that to understand why he would go to the lengths that he goes to in the back half of the film.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. I understand why they did it. I just wish they could have found a way to do it without 20 minutes.
I guess I saw it. I saw it as. I guess I bought more into it. I mean, Vince mm-hmm. Vaughn. I've seen him do serious stuff too. So it's not. He's not just the big funny man that a lot of people know him as. I thought he did a pretty good job in it. Honestly, I don't know. I saw him more as an imposing guy. Yeah, he's absolutely skilled. But I mean, shit. All the movies we watch are that way.
True, for the most part. I think for me, I was just watching Vince Vaughn go into a max prison and just not be afraid of anybody.
Because that's his character. This motherfucker's this tall, fucking imposing, bald man. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see it that way. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this movie is fucking perfect. But I certainly didn't get that vibe from it.
I didn't look.
And we didn't even mention. So one of the things, the slow build, super violent movie. This is the second movie from the first movie this guy did was Bone Tomahawk,
which I thought was terrible.
You didn't see. So Bone Tomahawk, I kind of see in the same light. I didn't hate Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy Bone Tomahawk.
But it's another slow build. It's that's kind of my issue with each movie. The slow build kind of takes you out because, you know, the story's okay, but it's not enough to make it seem faster than it should be. And that's kind of where my issues lie. I bought into the performances, the violence. Actually, I they use it in a way that makes it memorable, and that kind of helps it in a way.
I'm cool on violence. I'm always good on violence. You're never going to be like, oh, it's too much violence. That's not what I'm saying.
But it was very, another thing that I thought was it was very Tarantino-ish or trying to be Tarantino-ish.
Yeah, there was a lot of fucking talking, man.
Yeah, and in that, look, I get that Tarantino's going to spawn. I mean, I like some of the movies that the Tarantino stuff has spawned. I mean, hell, don't people argue that Boondock Saints is exactly that? Or,
yeah.
But I mean, you know what I mean. There's examples of Tarantino.
Yeah, long moments of talking separated by violence. Yeah, exactly. I get it. And so, you know, for the most part, I see what you're saying.
So my, you know, that's where my issues lie. I bought into the performances. I thought the story was okay. Like I said, it was just a little slow, and I think it was a little, you know, he was making it felt very. Whereas Bone Tomahawk didn't feel like he was trying too hard to be another director, this one kind of did. And But, you know, that said, I mean, I didn't hate the film. I enjoyed it. I would recommend it to people who like that type of thing. And I liked the aesthetic of it. I don't know. I liked that it was kind of dirty looking. I liked that it was marketed as a kind of a like an exploitive action film. And that type of thing is appealing to me. Those are the kind of films I like to look into and whatnot, which is why I checked this out in the first place. So I'm torn on it. You know, I mean, it's slow. It's not something I'm going to like rush back to watch right away, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to remember it. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you rate it?
Oh boy, I'd probably go. Probably go 6.5.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna give it a 6. Yeah, probably a 6. It wasn't terrible. I don't think it's terrible.
No, it was. I feel like I would like it if I watched it again.
Okay. All right.
I think it didn't do well in the theater, but the critics fucking loved it, so.
Really? That's strange. Okay.
92% Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
A lot of people believed in Vince Vaughn more than I did. I mean, his accent.
Like I said, that was definitely not my issue. I thought he did.
His accent also threw me off, so. That definitely took me out of a lot of scenes. But that's okay. We don't have to agree on shit.
That's right.
So let's move on. You recently got a chance to go to a con. So.
Well, I kind of stumbled upon this. It was during the week up in Columbus. And I caught wind of a, not a premiere, but it was a traveling show for Adam Green was taking around the fourth Hatchet film, and it was called Victor Crowley, and it was playing up in Columbus, and it kind of fell in line on a night that I could make time to go catch it, and I drove up to go see it, and it was a Thursday night, and it was the first film that kicked off an indie horror film festival that's up in Columbus that was the exact same weekend, and it was it was called the Nightmares Film Festival. And I had no clue this even existed. I just went up to go catch Victor Crowley. I didn't even know that it was kind of leading into all this other stuff. And I did it because Adam Green was going to be there. He introduced the movie, and then he did a meet and greet afterwards, which was kind of cool because I really like the Hatchet films. And they were doing this all weekend with a bunch of indie directors, guests and stuff. And it kind of kills me to say this. You know, I mean, you know how much I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The next movie that was playing in the same theater after Victor Crowley was out was the first time I want to say the world premiere, but it was like in the area at the very least they were going to show Leatherface, that new Chainsaw movie that just came out. And
I told you should have stayed.
Well, and so I dude, it was like midnight when I got out of this movie, and I had to work Friday. And so
we bleed for this, cuz we bleed for this.
Yeah, but I was gonna stay, but I haven't. Now the other face, I'm just gonna have to. I still haven't seen it. I gotta catch it. But I could have caught that. And I don't know that the director was there, but I think they had some cast members there to like do the intro and stuff, which was kind of cool. But that's the kind of film festival this was. So this is something that, you know, I'm definitely marking down for next year, and gonna go check out more than just the one movie that I went up to go see. So Nightmares Film Festival, I'm gonna try and check it out when it happens again. It's like a 3 or 4 day event at a really cool multiplex theater up there in Columbus near Ohio State, or off the Ohio State campus. And it was pretty cool the way they kind of had stuff set up and whatnot. But Victor Crowley, essentially is Hatchet 4. I enjoyed it. It was more of the same of what the first three were. So if you like the first three, you're going to like this one too. I think I was the only one on Get Out the Room that really liked the movie. So
true.
I would, you know, like I said, if you like Hatchet, you're going to like this one too. It's got comedy mixed with the over the top goofiness that the Hatchet movies are. And it's got cameos from random horror people in it. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I appreciated meeting Adam Green, hearing his thoughts on, you know, some of the movie stuff. So that kind of added to the experience a little bit. But that's cool. That's something that I'd really like to check out. Shit, it'd be something that if we were all in the same area, like if you were here in the area, we would go catch this, I think. I like the film festival, I mean.
Hey, you know I like a good film festival. It's cool. Yeah. So, what would you give Victor Crowley?
So I liked it more than it was a good movie. You know, it's a movie that I'll go back and watch knowing good and well that it's just a stupid slasher film.
Hey, that means nothing to what score you get. And keep in mind,
it actually does because
I don't think so. Movie. I think if you like a fucking film, then you rate it how you like it.
I'm getting to that point, man. You just don't drop the. Will you calm down?
No, motherfucker. It's a one.
I would probably go. I'd probably go 7.
Okay, you think
I liked Hatchet? I liked all the Hatchet movies, so
I remember that was one of the very first films you ever brought to me, and yeah, you like that more than Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Because I'll go back and rewatch it. I won't like Brawl is not a rewatchable movie.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a one and doneer.
I mean, fuck, dude, I go back and watch, you know, some during Halloween, go back and watch Friday the 13th Part 3. That's where Jason gets his mask. That's a rewatchable movie. It's not very good, but it's a rewatchable movie.
Yeah, I agree.
So the Hatchet movies to me are the nostalgic filled for slasher films, and I enjoy it. So
it makes sense.
Yeah,
makes sense.
If you like the old other ones, you'll like this one. If you don't, then you won't. I mean, it is what it is.
All right. So what else are you at? Or are we just going to start jumping into this smorgasbord?
You know, the only other thing that I've been watching that it kind of tints with us, I'm going to comment on this now. And you said you've been watching a little bit of it too, is X-Files. And we don't really talk X-Files a lot on the show. And that's fine because the new shit's just not very good. But, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, we just got done talking about all this stuff that I like nostalgia-wise, and X-Files feels very much like a product of its time. And that's kind of unfortunate, you know, because X-Files, you know, when it was on in the 90s, it was the really good seasons and episodes and whatnot were fantastic. And
it felt cutting edge. It felt
new. Yes, it felt cutting edge. And now it just feels like Chris Carter, David Duchovny, and Jillian Anderson are making it simply just to make some money, and they're kind of sleepwalking through it, and it just doesn't feel the same way.
It felt dangerous in the 90s. It felt like you were getting stories that you otherwise wouldn't get. That, you know, the landscape for storytelling has changed. You get those stories everywhere now. So, you know, the tried and true kind of formula for the X-Files doesn't work for me the way it did, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There was some promise in the opening scene of the second episode was, I think my comment was, I'd never seen Mulder and Scully be the kind of, you know, badass field agents. Usually it's just them dealing with some fucked up situation, and they were, you know, they were in a position where their house was being attacked by like these, you know, almost like a SWAT team. And the way they were reacting was just like, that was cool. That was like a cool little piece that they did. And then the story kind of faltered a little bit after that. But
yeah, so it was a scene. It was a scene that was almost out of character for the show that we know it as now, so to speak.
Yep.
But you're like, well, if this is what the show has in terms of potential, like, why can't we see more of this?
Right.
But they just
in the last season. So this is what, season 11, I think. Season 10 was on last year. It was like 6 episodes, and they weren't very good. And it's just, I'm not, you know, I'm watching now out of mere curiosity, and because, you know, I mean, X-Files is you know, it's a great show in the overall, but you know, I mean, it's they're beating a dead horse.
It is beaten. You know, I don't know where we can go from this point. I don't feel like
Jillian
the show
Anderson is saying now she doesn't want to do anymore, which is fine. I mean, I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I think,
like, let it die. Like, just let's get some, you know, well, let them move on.
They
don't always have to do everything.
They introduce the new Mulder and Scully, but they're not letting them cook. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not going to let the new Bucks cook, then why introduce them?
Yep.
I feel like they're robbing, they're stalling the storytelling in the show by doing it this way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, I've given X-Files passes. The show kind of, most people say the show really started going down a bad path when Mulder left. And I would agree, but there were good episodes after he was gone. And so I give him a pass to an extent there, but I mean, now that we got both of them back, you'd think their game would be a little better, but
you know, and this is something I think we don't give enough credence to. As an actor, you know, to inhibit those roles, it takes a lot to get to that place, especially if those places are very different from who they are. So, yeah. You know, if they have to figure out how to become Mulder and Scully, but they also have to become Mulder and Scully playing off of each other, and I feel like the Mulder and Scully that they are now is not the one that people fell in love with. Their relationship seems not just distant, like even when they're supposed to be caring about each other, when, you know, Mulder's, you know, burning the streets up to try and save Scully, you don't believe it.
Well, it's just they're sleepwalking through the shit.
Like, yes and no. I know that they're done with this. Like, they don't want to do this anymore. But I also feel like they haven't been able to, like, you know, on an old school radio, when you got to tune it to whatever station, I feel like they're both just a couple of, like, dials off.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean. I could get down with that.
Like, I just don't feel like they're tuned into the same wavelength. And I could be wrong. You know, maybe it should just bad. That's totally possible.
Well, yeah, and I think I read a review, and the review said, X-Files might just have been good in the 90s, or it just sucks.
Yeah.
Well, no, I
know. It's tough. It's tough, man. Like I said before, nobody was telling those stories in the 90s.
No, but, absolutely not.
But the storytelling landscape has changed so much that everyone's telling those stories now.
Right.
So, and you know, I think we're past it. So.
We are. They need to just drop it. Let it go.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We don't need all that shit around.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so, we're good here.
Yeah.
We will move on.
Hey, now we're moving on to this is the Damon rapid fire round here.
Rapid fire. So, since y'all haven't heard from me in a while, I have been quite busy and watching anything I can get my eyes on. I'm going to start with a little French flick named Raw. That is, the director is Julia Ducournau, or Ducournau. It is a story of a vegetarian family who the two young daughters become veterinarians, and they're in vet school, and as part of the The hazing, everyone has to eat raw meat. From there, it starts our main character and the people in her life down a really, really crazy kind of path that we're not sure where we come back from. It's startlingly fresh. It is really, really cool. And the last final shot is just heartbreaking. So,
those bittersweet movies are the ones that really stick with you.
This shit's not even really bittersweet. This shit's just bitter, dude. Like you just feel terrible afterwards.
My mind's racing. I'm reading the film is a coming of age horror film that deals with a young vegetarian's first year at veterinary school when she tastes meat for the first time and develops a craving for flesh.
Yeah,
that right there, I can already, my mind's racing on what that ending could be.
It is really, really good. Film's good.
I would guess something, but I'm not even gonna say it.
Film is very, very good.
Very, very good. So, slash-wise.
8.5, 9.
Oh, wow. Okay. Uh-huh. Ooh. Yep. Added to the list.
Yeah, it's French, so there are subtitles. But
I like how you say that as if I'm like, that's going to stop.
No, not you. But some people don't dig on subtitles. I think subtitles are great. Didn't stop me in any way. So I loved Raw a lot. So it's on Netflix. You can check it out. So next up, I'm going to go to a Japanese. Is it Japanese or Korean? I'm not sure. But some Asian horror. It's a movie named Tag. The opening scene of the movie is a bunch of Japanese schoolgirls on a bus where wind sweeps through the bus, lops everybody in half except one person. And the one survival is running for her life from this wind. And as she gets, she gets free, she gets swept into her school, but it's not really her school because everyone that she knows and everyone in her school just got killed.
Damn.
So
it's
then,
Indonesian, by the way.
Tag?
Yeah.
Okay. So it starts this really, really strange kind of play on reality. You're not really sure what's happening. The main
Social
characters
media got a hold of that intro, by the way.
Yeah, they did, and blew it up.
I've seen the opening scene because of that. It was just, so sorry to interject.
No. It's cool. That's the thing that'll make you want to see it. But yeah, there's stuff to make you want to stay. There's one character who's a ton of importance who basically plays... if anyone's ever seen Hardcore Henry, Charlton Copley's role within that film where he shows up in different clothes everywhere, that Henry goes, she is that for the main character here. And it's cool. There is a nod to the Matrix, so to speak. There's a lot going on here. It's a really good film. I would give Tag maybe 7. It's weird. You know what I mean? Like, Asian horror is weird anyway. Wild and weird. It's probably about 7.
But the good one, the memorable ones, it's a good memorable. Sometimes it's the same thing. I mean, have you seen Battle Royale?
Yeah, man, I thought I was the person that told you about that shit. There's schoolroom violence comparable to that.
Okay.
Like, there's some shit in there where you're like, holy fuck, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So if you like Battle Royale, you'll definitely love this.
Okay.
So next up, let's go into... We'll come back home and we'll get into kind of some new shit. Mom and Dad, Selma Blair, and Nicolas Cage.
I'm kind of curious to see what you have to say about this one.
The Brian Taylor directed film. So, Mom and Dad is roughly the reverse of Cooties. So instead of the kids trying to kill all the adults, this is the adults trying to kill their progeny.
Oh, this is this guy's the guy from like Crank and Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit, man. Okay. No wonder this. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So take that energy and now have.
And give it to fucking Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And give it to all of the parents being infected and trying to kill their children. They don't give a shit about anybody else, just their kids. So this film is fun. It gives you full-on Cage. I'm talking all the way erect Cage. Not, you know, there's a moment in the film where he acts. A lot of people say that Nicolas Cage can't act. They're just like he's doing this shtick, but he does some acting in this. It's really fucking good. And you know, midlife crisis
he's
shit.
He's a troll.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like he's
great. Some of the shit is obviously really bad, but some of it is him. He knows.
Yeah. He's understanding. He understands it. That's fine. But this is a good one.
I'm good with it. I like Nicolas Cage. So
this is good. Cage is good. Selma Blair's quite good.
Okay. Yeah. Quite good. I mean, the trailer is wild.
Yeah, the trailer it's cut strange, but. To be honest, a lot of that shit happens. The craziest thing in this whole film, there's a magical Negro named Damon, and
wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Who plays him?
Some young black kid. Nobody you've ever seen before. But Mom and Dad's good, man. I like this more than I like Tag. This will get a 7.5 for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mom and Dad's good. I would definitely check it out. It may be near your crib at some point soon for those of you who are listening to this. So check that out.
Yeah, I think it's getting a VOD release.
Yeah, VOD release should be soon, right?
I just saw an ad for it. It's like already for home release and shit too. So
cool.
I think they picked that they agreed not to go theatrical, so it's kind of insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of times where you're just going to lose money by going theatrical with some of these films. Right. Cooties didn't do what it was supposed to do, and this is.
Well, yeah, I mean, some movies, look, nowadays, these movies don't have to go theatrical, or they shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, you can make your margin by not going theatrical. Sell it to a platform, get your money that way.
Right.
You know? So, I enjoy Mom and Dad a lot. Next up is Chris Peckover's Better Watch Out, which is a really strange kind of Home Alone on steroids, but you know this is another one similar to The Babysitter, where you have like a 15-year-old kid, 13, 14-year-old kid who is in love with his nanny. The difference is the nanny is not hot at all in this one. Like you wouldn't go through all this. There's a lot that happens. You know, surrounding a nanny, that's not nearly as charming as the action in the relationship that takes place in The Babysitter. Samara Weaving does a great job of having you root for her, even though she's the antagonist in that film. This is a little different. You don't enjoy the main character. You don't necessarily fall in with what he's trying to do, and it got stale. I didn't love it. I'll just go ahead and tell you. A lot of people loved Better Watch Out. I think there were a lot of people who rated it one of the highest films of especially horror films for 2017. It gets like a 6 for me. So I didn't love this.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm looking at the I've heard this one. Yep.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it for anybody because there's a lot of like intricate plot things that if I tell you will completely ruin the like all enjoyment you can get from the film. So I'll stay away from kind of telling you anything about that. But yeah, I was not a huge fan on this one. Next up, I caught the Mark Duplass turn at horror Creep 1 and 2. Creep 1 is like this super, super long, fucking drawn out until you know exactly where it's going, you know exactly how it's going to play out. And the whole thing is up to performance.
The whole thing what?
It's up to performance, I'm sorry. So if you believe in Duplass's performance and you believe in what's happening, then, you know, you buy it. Some people really like Creep. We had a couple folks on Twitter get to us and talk about how much they loved Duplass and they love those films. I don't necessarily because I feel like there's a lot of moments where you're like, nah, fuck that, I'm out. But, you know, they kept pushing forward. So, there you go. The second one, so keep in mind, in Creep 1, Duplass is a serial killer. We see this, we understand it. The second one, the character who goes to interview him knows he's a serial killer and willingly puts herself in this dude's presence.
Okay.
So I think you pretty much know where that ends up.
All right.
So yeah. Take that for what you will. I didn't enjoy,
The Creep has some good buzz around it.
It did. I remember when it came out, I was super excited for it. One, because I really like Mark Duplass. So he and his brother, whatever they do, Mark and Jay, I feel like they're really, really good. So I was really cool with watching them try and do something different. And I just didn't love it.
Huh. What's your slashes?
Probably 6.5. 6.
Yeah.
Probably 5.5. 6. Yeah, that's a better adjustment.
All right.
And the last one was Michael O'Shea's Transfiguration. So, this is a film that I liken to Let the Right One In. So, you got a little black kid in New York. I think he's in Queens or Brooklyn or something. You know, Coney Island, South Brooklyn. And he's kind of an outcast and he gets picked on. There's a lot of, you know, people treat him like shit. But he is completely and utterly fascinated and obsessed with vampire lore.
Okay.
So, you know, he's an outcast, so he can't really do much about it. But he indulges in his fascination from time to time. And then he meets a young lady who is also an outcast, but kind of allows him to go through some of this. And the two of them together kind of save each other. But the way the story's told, man, it is, it's good. It's slow. But the child actors are quite good, and they're not even kids. They're like 20 something. They're probably, you know, early 20s, or late teens. Either way, well done stuff. I enjoyed it. The vampire lore aspect, the way it comes across by the end of the film, you know, there's a lot of questions, and you're kind of left to fill in some blanks for yourself. But I enjoy it a lot.
Okay. What's the slashes?
Probably 7.
Okay.
Yeah, 7. It's a little slow, so it's not for everybody. But, you know, I think if you watch it, you'll enjoy it. So.
Okay.
I think that was the last one, right?
It was.
Yeah, it's the last one I've seen.
Okay.
So, The Walking Dead comes back in 2 or 3 weeks?
You know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about The Walking Dead. Let me see. It has potential to be something new and exciting when they come back, so.
Yeah.
Let's hope they can do it.
Well, we know one character's gone. The question is, how far do they go with it, one character being up?
February 25th.
Yeah, okay. By then, we will still be basking in the glory that is Black Panther.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking forward to that one, so.
Sounds good, brother.
Yeah, buddy.
Yee, biddy. Yee. So, right now, what else? Is there anything else you're looking forward to? Anything you want to bring up before we get out of here?
I know the I mentioned this on our show before. Death House, that Expendables of Horror movie that I've been kind of following for a long time, is finally getting a release this month. Seems like that's been forever in the making. So
it has.
It's just like a limited. It's going to be very, very, very limited theatrical, but I think it's coming to a place around here. So I'm going to catch it when it comes out.
That is surprising. I am surprised it got a theatrical at all.
That's why it took so long. They held out for a theatrical, and I am too. I don't think it's going to do it, you know, anything. But you know, that's all right.
There's so many movies that come out now. Unless you have a strong marketing campaign, your film is going to get swallowed up and forgotten.
Right. It doesn't help. In horror, it happens quite a bit more.
Yep. Yeah, so I yeah. VOD it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, as of right now, I think we're going to stop there. It has been a pleasure catching up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am Day. You can catch me at DAE021. I'm usually the one running the Get Out the Room Twitter account. You can catch me on Facebook, the Facebook fan page. We've been updating that a lot recently. There are a couple of upcoming films that look really interesting. Natalie Portman's Annihilation, Ellen Page's The Cured.
Annihilation. Boy, that movie looks fucking tight.
It does. Was that movie Unsane? That just looks scary as all get out, man. Unsane looks crazy. You know, I'm still waiting on that film with Anya Taylor-Joy, which I think is going to be a really, really good film.
What's that?
Oh, I forgot the name of it. I'll check it out in a second, see if I can remember, bring it up. But really, really good film, or it looked like it was going to be very good. Hereditary. That looks crazy.
Marrowbone?
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah, Hereditary looks crazy. The Strangers Part 2, the sequel to The Strangers, is coming out. That looks fantastic.
The First Purge.
Yep. The prequel to The Purge. All about it. All about it.
You know, Marissa Tomei, they got her to be in that movie.
Did they?
Yeah, I just saw that today because the trailer came out today, or I think it came out late yesterday.
She needs checks. Marissa Tomei needs checks. I'm cool with that. Oh, the name of the film is called Thoroughbreds.
Thoroughbreds. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Lots of good stuff coming up, man. You know,
oh,
so
that's
far,
the spirit animals in that.
Yep. I think it's the last film.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Once again, spirit animal chose well.
Yeah, well, he always does. He always did.
Right? Yeah, spirit animal for a reason. So, yeah, I think those are the ones we were looking at. Everything else, you know, we may or may not catch. The Infinity War is coming soon. Yep. Thanos looks to be just as dangerous and deadly as you could have imagined or thought he would become. So I think that's very cool.
Yeah, it looks they're setting him up, and he's got potential to be like the next, like, classic genre villain.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because Marvel's also been releasing or re-releasing every piece of comic book they have surrounding Thanos.
With Thanos in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And so much of it is directly tied to the time frame, either directly before or directly after the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. They've had some more recent stories where Thanos and Adam Warlock are friends. And Thanos is not this destructive tyrant. He's kind of the... He plays a very different role, so to speak. And it's been crazy kind of watching the narrative around who Thanos is change a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, he still has the capacity to be the person that we believe him to be, but at the same time, he's not that all the time. So, it's interesting. It's basically a guy, Jim Starlin, I think is the writer who writes all these incredible Thanos stories.
Yeah.
And you just see a ton of them, and you start to see stuff that doesn't necessarily fit into your narrative of who Thanos is. But at the same time, you know, taken in a different context makes perfect sense.
Yep.
So I think the material they've given Josh Brolin is quite good. So, yeah.
I agree.
I guess it's time to go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see y'all next time.
Catch us. Get out the room. Peace. Phenom Pyrus.
Ooh, there he is. Phenom Pyrus. I'm proud of you for remembering to say it. Not that you will be logged on, but thank you for saying it.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's about it, man. Get out of the room. Episode 89. We out of here. We'll catch y'all next time, all right?
Yep. Peace.
Peace.